This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us tonight. You've probably heard a lot in the news the last number of weeks and months about things related to college admissions, and probably scandal might be the first word that comes up. And we've talked about that before here on this program with our next guest, but we're talking about it today because Monmouth College is taking a little bit of a different tact in terms of admissions in what's kind of being referred to as a test optional admissions policy. We're going to talk about that with Kristen English in the admissions office at Monmouth College. She is on the phone right now. Kristen, thanks so much for your time.
Hi, Will. Great to be with you.
Thanks for coming on, for sure. Let's talk about this. I went to a liberal arts college that at the time had an open admissions policy and that they didn't require any sort of test or anything to get in. I think they've since changed that, and I think that it was in the years where this college I went to was referred to as a glorified high school at one point. But talk about in more detail what this is and kind of what led Monmouth College to go down this route.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great question because there is, you know, some questions and confusion about this. But a test optional admission policy is very different than an open enrollment policy.
Right.
So we will continue to require official high school transcripts. We will continue to assess the academic quality of the students who apply to Monmouth College, their academic preparedness, by assessing things like cumulative GPA, but also looking at specific grades and specific courses, the rigor of their high school curriculum. But what we've learned over time is that how a student does on one standardized test one time is not necessarily as predictive as we once thought it to be in terms of predicting success at the college level. You know, there are a lot of otherwise very well-qualified candidates who apply to Monmouth and other colleges who have strong GPAs, who have really demonstrated their ability to be successful academically in the classroom over the work they've done for all 4 years in high school, and for whatever reason, who just don't test well.
Yeah.
So Monmouth has always employed a holistic review process. We've always read closely all of the materials our applicants submit, and adopting a test optional policy means that we will continue to welcome SAT and ACT scores as a part of the admission process for students who feel that their scores reflect what they're capable of. But for students who don't, we're no longer going to require that for them to be considered for admission to the college.
It strikes me that just going on what you said about students and their test-taking abilities, taking the SAT or the ACT is such a high-pressure situation, no matter how good you are at school or at even taking other kinds of tests.
Absolutely. We hear that from students and their parents all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I've worked with students in the past who have just excellent marks across the board by every other metric, including grades in high school, and they're taking these tests 4 and 5 times, which is obviously time-consuming. It costs money if you want to take the test repeatedly. And some of this is a question of access as well. You know, according to data from the organizations that administer the SAT and the ACT, test scores demonstrate a lot of bias. Students from lower-income backgrounds, for example, are less likely to score well in some cases because they don't have the opportunity to continue to test over and over again and access prep courses. There's a lot of evidence behind this, and so we are in no way weakening the standards for admission. Monmouth College is a place of high quality, and ensuring that the students we admit are academically prepared is critically important and will remain so. But again, what we've learned over time is that a test score is one metric, and maybe it just doesn't tell us as much as we thought it did.
In a news release the college sent out, it cites that in the latest U.S. News and World Report Best Colleges ranking, which we talked about on the news last week here, it cites how Monmouth College was ranked number 7 in the nation among liberal arts colleges in terms of social mobility. Talk about where that kind of relates to all of this, if you could.
Sure. I'm glad you asked because this is something that we're really proud of. You know, Monmouth College is a place that serves lots of different kinds of students from lots of different backgrounds. And social mobility is basically we are creating opportunities for students who come from lots of different kinds of social and economic backgrounds to move up socially and economically. So students from low-income backgrounds come to Monmouth College and have the opportunity to earn more or to sort of get out of that low-income cycle. This is, you know, something I was really impressed by when I came to Monmouth College for being a small school in rural Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
We really are representing lots of different students from lots of different places and backgrounds on our campus of 1,000 undergrads, and it's something that we're really proud of. We feel really good about the opportunity for future success of all of our graduates.
Did any of this consideration come out of, and we, as I mentioned, we talked about with you about the college admissions scandal nationwide a little while back. Did any of this change come as a result of that? Because I think part of the concern was, again, some of these more well-to-do parents paying for some of these better test scores, in a sense.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, the conversations on our campus didn't really have much to do with that.
Okay.
But I think, I think all of these discussions are sort of wrapped in and around each other in many ways for the reason that you just articulated. You know, it's very clear that in a lot of different ways, some students are advantaged and others are disadvantaged in the college admission process and in so many other processes. And so this is absolutely a move that that we made in part because we are committed to access and equity. And again, you know, a lot of it for us was really just informed by our own data. We ran the numbers, and when we looked at the GPAs of our current Monmouth College students, we found that their GPAs from high school was just a significantly stronger predictor of their GPA in college than the test score they came in with.
Is a hope here perhaps to get maybe more applications and at the end of the day maybe more students enrolled at Monmouth College?
Hey, we're always hoping for more applications, Will. I think, you know, I'm really proud of the experience that we offer to Monmouth College students. And if we can get, you know, more students to pay attention to what we have to offer, absolutely, we always want to do that. But ultimately, as I said, I think this was a decision that was more driven by our long-term commitment to access and equity, informed by the data that we saw internally. And yeah, sure, if we can, get a few more students to pay attention as a result because they understand Monmouth to be a place that really cares about them as a whole person and not one number on a piece of paper, that's great.
In a broad sense, and from your perspective, Kristen, is this, do you see more colleges doing this as the years go on here in terms of maybe given some of the concerns that that you cited and given some of the data about students and their test-taking abilities?
Definitely. This has definitely been a growing trend, I think, as the body of evidence mounts. There are now over 1,000 colleges and universities nationwide that have adopted test-optional or test-flexible policies, some of them very publicly, including, you know, the University of Chicago just a year ago adopted a similar policy. There are other colleges in our region that have these policies, colleges that are, you know, sort of serve lots of different student populations in terms of selectivity, academic profile, geography. So it's definitely a growing trend. I think more and more colleges are coming to understand that there is much more to a student than a test score. And if we want to assess students who are a best fit for us, there are lots of ways that we can do that that don't involve the SAT or ACT. And again, you know, I think something important to articulate about the policy is this just creates another option for students. Many students are really happy with their scores. And if that's the case, we want to continue to see them. We anticipate that most students will still apply with an SAT or an ACT score. However, this policy gives them the option so that they can choose whether or not that's something they want to do.
Do some high schools require their students to take the SAT or the ACT, do you know?
I don't know that high schools require it. However, there are some states, including Illinois, that have agreements at the state level with the ACT or College Board. So in the state of Illinois, we do have an agreement with the College Board, and the SAT is administered in the high schools across the state of Illinois as a part of the academic year, basically.
Okay.
So students do have access to the SAT, Illinois residents, in their high schools. I think, you know, one thing we've noticed anecdotally is that sometimes there's differences in the test scores that we see from when the students took the SAT at their high school versus taking the test on a Saturday, for example. And I've not seen any data from the College Board on that, but, you know, it is something you wonder about.
Yeah.
What's it like to taste such an important test in the middle of the school day when you're sitting, you know, between your best friend and your girlfriend and there's lots of other things going on, so...
I don't know. It's kind of a tough call wanting to take it in that environment or really doing anything on a Saturday. But that's just me. Final question. Are there students on campus right now that you've run into that said, gosh, I wish this was in place when I was trying to get in here?
Lots of them, you know, truly, honestly, you know, and we've heard that from current students who were really proud of their test scores and who we think would have applied with their test scores. But in talking with their peers, you know, this generation of students really understands access and equity issues, mm-hmm. and they're worried about each other. And I think having lived through this experience recently, we've gotten some really positive reviews from many of our current students. There were a couple wonderful comments on our Facebook announcement about this from graduates of the college who said, you know, I was this student and Monmouth College took a chance on me and now I own my own business and have had a lot of success. So this is something that has been incredibly well received among current and prospective students, but also the high school counselor population.
Yeah.
You know, we sent out an email to the counselors in the high schools announcing this change, and I can't tell you how many replies we got. You know, these are the people that are boots on the ground working with these students every day, and they understand better than anyone that a student is more than a test score. And we were, you know, applauded by that, and that's always high praise, in my opinion, when you hear from the high school counselors, because... I'm deeply grateful for the work that they're doing.
There you go. Kristen English in the admissions office at Monmouth College. Thanks so much for your time, and hopefully this continues to raise the bar in terms of success for you at the college.
Thanks very much, Will.
Sports and business news coming up next on Galesburg's Evening News.